Good morning, everyone. Peace to you all. Come to his house again today and to worship him. And may his name be glorified on earth. As you know, the election is approaching pretty soon. And again, the two parties are pursuing the presidential position. And we're all hopeful for this position. This country is a Christian country. As America is the pioneer and one of the pioneers of democracy. However, religions and politics are influencing, are interrelated and influencing each other. Now, as a Christian, how do we view this election? Now, what if you do not like neither of the parties? What are you going to do? So today, I'm planning to talk about this topic. How should I choose? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, all glories go to you. Please allow us to remember you, to worship you, as we're cleansed, our sins are cleansed by you. Lord, we bow in front of you. We try to learn what is our responsibilities as a Christian, our obligations. Please let us understand and be clear in our mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Number one, all righteousness should be fulfilled. Brothers and sisters, we know that the election is on November the 5th. It's a Tuesday. This would be the 60th election. And at the same time, the Senate would also have, and the House will also going through an election, and that would form the 119. And every state we have a candidate, we have candidates, and this election would determine the candidates and who would win the election. This would be the first time since census that is performed back in 2020. This would be the first election since then. As you know, the Republican candidate is Donald Trump, and Kamala Harris is the candidate for the Democratic Party. The winner of the election would have inaugurated on in January on at January 20th, 2025. Now, I think most of you all would heard or know at least a little bit about the two candidates. So, as should Christians, how would a Christian choose or elect a vote between the two candidates? And some may say that I'm a Christian and I do not want to get involved in politics. And some may say I belong to heaven and I don't want to be voting at all. And I'm a pastor, and everything I said I need to base on Bible. So before the Lord Jesus became flesh and came to our world and began to preach publicly, John actually, the Baptist, John actually had be already begun to preach before Jesus. And people from all over Israel came to John to be baptized by him. Jesus was also baptized by John from Galilee, which is the northernmost part of Israel, to the Jordan River near Jerusalem. And Jesus is part of the was part of the crowd who came to John to be baptized. And by we have Bible scholars estimated that Jesus probably had walked about 70 miles to get baptized by John. And Jesus took a great deal of effort just to get to John to be baptized by him. But when Jesus came to John to be baptized, John said to him, "I deserve to be baptized by you. Why have you come to me?" And that was mentioned in Matthew chapter 3. Now, John's baptism is the baptism of repentance. And Jesus Christ is the Son of the Holy, Immaculate God. And he is the only sinless human being. So Jesus Christ does not need to repent. He is the only sinless human being. So the Bible says God made him who was without sin to be sin for us, that we may be righteousness. We may be the righteousness of God in him. And we know that Jesus was tempted in every way, just as we are. But he still did not sin. And it was mentioned in Book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Now, brothers and sisters, since John's baptism was the baptism of repentance, and Jesus was holy and sinless, why was Jesus baptized by John? So why would a sinless and holy Jesus be baptized by John? And Jesus replied to this and said, "Permit me for a while, for this is how we ought to fulfill all righteousness." So what does it mean by righteousness? What does it mean by deserve all righteousness in this way? Righteousness refers to justice that is manifested by obedience to God's rule. That is righteousness and lawfulness. Because now Jesus Christ was a human being. At that time, remember, he became flesh and like us. So it is reasonable and legitimate for God and man that the Lord stands in the position of human being and obeys God's rule and does his duty as a person on earth. So at that time, as Jesus was a human, at that time he has to fulfill his obligation to obey the laws of human. Now Jesus has no sin to repent and did not need to be baptized, but he was willing to stand as a sinner, submit to God, and admit that man deserved to die. And today we're not getting too much into baptism, but anyway, so remember Jesus' principle, the mission is to die, come and die for us, and before that he has to be baptized. So the Lord began his earthly work with baptism, which speaks to the principle of his ministry. This is a sign that the Lord fulfilled the requirement of the law by dying on the cross. Now Jesus wanted John the Baptist to fulfill all righteousness with him. And as disciples of Lord Jesus today, we should also fulfill our duty to follow the Lord and serve the Lord, fulfill our obligations as fathers, mothers, employees of a company, and fulfill our duties as a citizen. So, as Christians, how are we supposed to live in a nation, in a country, as a citizen? And how do we live in this community? How are we supposed to fulfill? What is our obligations to live in this community, to live in this country as a Christian? Number one, we must live by the grace of Lord and according to the law of the Lord. And this is a must. So we must understand the content of faith. We must know that the specific guidance of faith is for life, that we must be clear without a doubt what the Lord wants of us. We must be clear on that. And what are our missions on earth? What is the meaning and the purpose of our earthly life? In this way, so you may have doubts sometimes of your duty or your mission on earth. And our duty, we need to also, as part of that duties, we need to understand the our obligations and responsibilities, our missions. So what are we going to do with part of our duties? And we absolutely have to fulfill our duty. The basis of everything is that our duties has to be fulfilled based on faith, and our lives has to be built on faith. So faith and life are inseparable. So everything that we do and our duties and our responsibility must be based on faith. In other words, if someone says, I want my life and I don't need knowledge, and I don't need to understand my faith, it is very dangerous and will go astray. So if you only focus on your life and not your faith and knowledge, you may go sideways. On the other hand, if you only want faith, knowledge, and not new life, at the end, it will only be empty. We should know that when we do our part, when we do our duty, we're fulfilling our duty, we're doing so voluntarily. And therefore, it must be your own choice to do your duty. Now it can be said, I know that it's a must to fulfill our duties, and we're free in Christ, but it is by the grace of Christ that we are free, so that we can fulfill all righteousness. So as we are free by Christ, we have free will. We can choose what we want. The reason we have free will is because of grace from God. What does it mean? In other words, when we're fulfilling our duties, we're not doing it in the form of slavery. Because of the grace of God, we are fulfilling as children of God, and we're doing it voluntarily. We are the children of Kingdom of Heaven. We are the children of God. But at the same time, we are the citizens of a country. We have basically dual citizenship. If the duties of the citizens of the dual nationalities are not properly handled, it will bring great trouble. The correct handling of these two identities will definitely require a battle. It's a struggle. It would definitely be a struggle. And why? Because these dual nationalities create two positions. One is biblical, and you are in secular. If we're not careful, we will see things from a worldly point of view. And it will be viewed from a human standpoint. And we are only focusing on our own selves. In that case, we need to ask God to help us to stand firm in the new life and to hold firm to the truth in everything, so that we would not stumble and in Bible, so that we'll not stumble in Christ life, in the Christ like life. So then you ask, what attitude should we have when we're fulfilling our duty? We shall have pure faith, godly living, and humble hearts. And these values, three values, are most critical as we are fulfilling our duties for the dual nationality, a dual citizenship. We will glorify the name of the Lord in all things. We'll receive the knowledge of truth with humility and bearing witness to the truth received with godly spiritually. And we can see true light from the Holy Spirit. And only then can we see that God is in power. We will also be participating in all God's plan. Remember, God is the creator of all things and the creator of the universe. The principle of all things initiated by God, originated. And as God says, the word of God is the truth. And the word of truth needs the light of the Holy Spirit. So it is only when we realize that after we are saved, we would need to continue to rely on the Holy Spirit to get rid of all filth and evil and sins. We will become a concrete person who practice all kinds of righteousness. The necessary condition for the fulfillment of all righteousness is repentance. And what is repentance? Repentance is the true confession of being a sinner, to admit your own sin, our own sin, and to confess of our ignorance, incompetence, and corruption. And it will be useless if you keep shouting out that you have repented your sin, but yet you don't know what your sins are. We have to admit, we have to confess our ignorance, incompetence, and corruption. So we need to be cautious of self-denial. I will grant us enemy in our battle is within ourselves and not out from outside, not someone else but ourselves. Therefore, we must rely on the Holy Spirit. And we have to rely on the Holy Spirit. We do not despise the prophets, but test all things and keep what is good, abstain from all kinds of evil things. This came from Thessalonian, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 to 22. So knowing this, reject every kinds of evil, and that is plural, not singular. Again, our enemy is within ourselves. And remember, we have dual personal, dual nationalities and dual citizenships. And the two nationalities require two obligations. But that obligations must be voluntary and must be built on faith. And it must be fulfilled by repenting our sins first. Speaking of righteousness, now how should I, as a citizen, participate in the election, voting? If I don't participate, would it in affect the outcome of the election? And some may think that, hey, I'm only one vote. It probably won't matter. So number two, part two of my sermon. So part two of my sermon is the ending is set. Just believe it. You probably have guessed what I'm gonna say in the following time, in the remaining time. I want to read the Book of Romans. Chapter 13, verse 1 to 5. So everyone who has authority in above must submit to him, for there is no authority other than God's. All who are in power are commanded by God. Therefore, he who resists authority resists the command of God. And he that resists will be punished. For rulers are not the fear of those who do good, but the fear of those who do evil. So the evil are the one, are those that are afraid of those in power. If you do good, you'll be praised by him. So brothers and sisters, first of all, we need to know that my vote is not a certainty. So if my vote, how should I vote for the election? So how do I choose? In fact, when we get the ballots, we are given the power, we're given the authority granted by our government. At the same time, and we also have the duty to be fulfilled as a citizen. So who should I vote for? As a Christian, I tell you, I would vote for those who fear God, love their people, clean, lead by example, and are capable of managing the country. So who is this kind of person? Where? Yes, where? In heaven. Now, do we have that kind of person on earth? Not, maybe not so now. So what should we do? So then you would give up and not vote? We have to vote. We have to vote for the closest person to what I've just described, who fear God. Because remember, the Bible says there is not one righteous person, not even one. Do you understand what I'm saying? We can see in the Bible that examples in the Bible, Joseph, Daniel, Nehemiah, Mordecai, and other sages and other saints that we can look at these examples and study them on, in Bible. There's I want to say this again, that as a Christian citizens, we cannot repeal God's command to obey the government because of the differences in faith. The Lord Jesus did not fail his citizenship because of the unbelief of the Roman government, as did the apostle of the New Testament and the saints of the Old Testament. Remember, Jesus did not give us up, did not give up on us because of the corrupted, because did not give us up for the corrupted Romans Empire. Well, we can read it in multiple incidents from Bible. God does not require his chosen people scattered among the nations to transform the government. So remember the disciples in the New Testament, they were not tasked to change the government to a full Christian government. So there are people nowadays with evil motives are using religion to engage in politics to achieve different agendas in politics, and they're stirring up disputes of faith. They're encouraging believers to use faith to abandon their due obedience to the government. Now, as children of God, we need to be very careful. We shall not disobey our government. We shall not deny the authority. If you hear that some religions painted our government as evil, as devil, then you should leave immediately from that conversation. No form of government, whatever it believes, can change the fact that government comes from God. Nor is it enough to shake the principle that the government should be subject to it. Our Lord Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world, but if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world." The heavenly kingdom and the earthly kingdom are different categories. And imposing earthly nations by heavenly standard is a misunderstanding of the liberals. And I'm saying it one again. Regardless of the parties, that the authority of government came from God. Remember, you as a Christian, what the last you should not do, what you should not do is quoting Bibles and use the quotes in Bible to do any evil. To do anything against the laws. And so remember, Jesus said that his kingdom is not of this world. So you should not, as Christian, we cannot alter the laws of the government and laws of the country by using quotes from Bible. So our duty as a person who holds dual citizenship is to obey both laws. So we're using the laws from heaven and impose that on the laws on earth. It's they don't mix with each other. And I want to say this again so that we get it clearly. The heavenly kingdom and the earthly kingdom, which is our country, if you impose the heavenly standards to earthly nations or countries, that's wrong. And that's a misunderstanding. Of the liberals. Do not mix them up. So as a citizen of this country, as of an earthly country, we who lives on this earth, we live on this world. It is our duty, of course, to obey both laws, the heavenly kingdom laws and the earthly kingdom laws. We have to be careful. We please note that. Please note that what I said above doesn't mean that you obey, everything 100%, right? Are there anything that are not some that you should not be obeying? Oh, yeah. For example, when things that are heavily spiritual and true are resisted by the government, then we must be courageous and on this, and we must be cautious, can't be awake to identify these. So Christians has no privilege in fulfilling their earthly citizenship duties, and are no different. Christian has no privilege and other over other ordinary older over other citizens, non-believer. We are the same as other citizens. On the contrary, because Christ has set us free, we're more willing to serve all people. We should be more obedient, and we should be more humble, and be more and should offer and more willing to serve other people. Again, I said it a lot of times. Then when you talk about gospels in front of other people, you should not be talking to others like you above condescending, but you should be talking in a humble way. We are here to serve others. We are here to serve the Lord, and we're here to serve everyone around us. Reading from Book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 1 to 2. Then let everyone obey whoever has authority in above, and from there is no authority other than God's. All who are in power are commanded by God. And as Christian citizens, we must submit to the authority of the state at all levels of government. For government is by God's permission. And it says, quote, quote, for there is no authority that is not of God. That is not only the spiritual authority in the church, but even the human authority in the world is established and permitted by God. And God himself is the source of all authorities. And quote, quote, all those who are in power are commanded by God. So God's purpose in establishing government authority and obtaining those in power is to maintain good social country in order and provide a just and peaceful living environment so that the believers can live in godliness and peace. And those who are in authority are commands from God, and we must obey the commands of God. And again, the whole purpose of all this is to provide a peaceful living environment for the believers so that we can all live in godliness and peace. And this is mentioned in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now we know that the gospel of God can be preached and God's church can be established. This is ultimately to welcome the Lord's return. This is a predetermined act, and no power in the world can change it. Although a Christian is a heavenly citizen, he must fulfill his responsibility as human being as long as you live on earth. In other words, we have to do our duty as citizens, and our obedience to authority is required, and we have to fear God and our authority is we have to fear God and our authority and all is and we have to fear authority of our God. We have to respect the authority of our government. As long as we hold the dual citizenship, a citizenship to earthly country and a citizenship to our heavenly country, we have to fulfill our duties. Right? We have to submit to the government who holds the authority. And we submit to our government because the government is of God's command. Because we are humble in front of God. We had so brothers and sisters today have discussed some of our duties as a Christian. I believe all authorities are in our God are in God's hand. I believe in fulfilling my duty as a person who holds dual citizenship. We have to believe, we have to submit that the authority is in God's and must fulfill our duty. And the fate of this country is in God's hand. So how do you decide? How do you choose? And you choose the person with righteousness and with fear of God. Let's pray. Lord, please let us understand your will as we're living in this country. Lord, I know we shall not do evil. I know you will return. I know when you return, you will clear all the evils and rebuild the countries. You will rebuild the New Jerusalem. We pray that you could clean our sins, that we could pursue what is in front of us to the better of this country. All glories go to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.